Joan Bennett. Iran's government and its supreme leader again warning demonstrators to hold off on any more protests against the disputed presidential election. The interior minister saying opposition candidate Mir Hossein Mousavi would be held responsible for the consequences of any illegal gatherings. ABC's Jim Sciutto, who had been in Tehran this past week.
It's becoming more difficult to get information out of Tehran. For one, foreign reporters like myself, many no longer there. Also, they're controlling the communication networks, keeping websites slow, and also interfering with cell phone communication, which is something that has really helped the protesters organize text messaging, phone calls out of the country. Without that sort of communication, it's a lot harder to find out what's going on the ground.
A truck bombing in a Shiite mosque in northern Iraq has killed at least 25 people. It happened after noon prayers in Kirkuk. The night sky lit up outside Rockford, Illinois, as a dozen tanker cars loaded with ethanol blew up following a train derailment. A woman who had been waiting in her car at the crossing was killed, several others injured. President Obama is touting his plan to protect consumers from predatory lenders, an agency that would watch over their interests. He says he's ready to push back against hardline defenders of cagey lenders.
Well, I'm not spoiling for a fight. I'm ready for one.
In the Republicans' weekly address, Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky is accusing the president and Democrats in Congress of rushing a health reform package that he says would hurt the ailing economy.
Expecting a government-run system to help the economy is like praying for rain in the middle of a flood. The thing you're asking for is the last thing you need.
Fathers are gathering at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington at this hour for a responsible fatherhood rally. The aim is to get dads to take an oath of commitment to their children and their families. You're listening to ABC News.
What's the true cost to own a minivan? If you choose the Honda Odyssey, the answer is less than you might think. Because it's a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, your insurance costs can be significantly lower over the long term. Plus, it's nice to know your passengers will feel protected too. Good reasons why the Odyssey is the best-selling minivan in America.
Based on all Polk & Company retail registrations for the minivan segment January through November 2008, based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership.
Dry eyes are no fun. It's like a sandstorm in my eyes. And I know it can lead to eye health issues, so I can't focus on anything else.
Open your eyes to Clear Eyes brand tears formulas. There's a formula for mild, moderate, and severe dryness. Each Clear Eyes product bathes eyes with extra moisturizers that restore a healthy, moist environment for up to 8 hours of soothing comfort.
I finally see a solution.
Clear Eyes tears formulas for a healthier view of the world. Use as directed.
The U.S., South Korea, China, Russia, and Japan are said to be planning a big meeting next month to talk about North Korea's nuclear program and its latest provocations. ABC's Tom Rivers at the Foreign Desk says the U.S. is also tracking North Korean ships.
The U.S. Navy is monitoring the Kangnam, the first ship it shadowed since new U.N. sanctions came down last week. It's thought the vessel may be heading to the busy port of Singapore. If so, officials there say they'll take action if it ties up with a cargo of weapons. New UN rules bar Pyongyang from shipping weapons overseas, including missile parts and nuclear materials. Meanwhile, the U.S. has deployed anti-missile assets to the Pacific in case North Korea decides to launch any more rockets. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
Answering the question, what are you doing, presented a bit of a challenge to California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger last night when his plane made an emergency landing in Van Nuys after the cockpit started filling with smoke. His press secretary, Aaron McClear.
He twittered immediately afterwards and then let his Twitter followers know that everything was okay and is no big deal. I think he's been through worse, so we're just all happy he's safe and that he got off without incident.
Torrential rains and twisters across parts of the Midwest toyed with air passengers. 100 flights canceled at Chicago's O'Hare Airport, which had a record rainfall. North Carolina has become the 14th state to make it illegal to text while driving. It'll take effect December 1st. This is ABC News.
A moonlight carriage ride down a cobblestone road, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and with every bump, the pain drives you insane.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cream with maximum strength pain relief still relieves burning and itching and adds maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever.
Don't you love carriage rides?
Ah, I do now.
Preparation H cream, pain relief on contact. Use as directed.
Joan Bennett, ABC News.
From the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, here's the Saturday forecast. We'll have sunny skies for today. Warm temperatures, highs will be in the mid-90s with wind out of the west at 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies and humid. Lows will be in the upper 70s. And for Father's Day tomorrow, partly sunny and a high of 95. That's the forecast on this Saturday from the Talk to Me station, AM 1300, award-winning WMEL.
Infineon Raceway.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
It's the Toyota Save Mart 350.
Left, right, left, through the S's. Now the right-hand turn downhill.
Montoya now goes to the inside of Newman in turn seven. A great move, makes the pass on the inside, gets on the rumble strips. He'll now try to chase down that threesome in front of it.
Ryan Newman and Marcus Ambrose side by side off 11.
The Toyota Save Mart 350, Sunday, June 21st at 4 Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
And here NASCAR on AM 1300 WMEL. It's Lou Dobbs, weekday afternoons, 3 to 6 p.m. on AM 1300. Last week was an interesting week and at times a bit surreal. You had Barbara, could you say senator instead of ma'am, boxer, arrogant, and needlessly dressing down a U.S. Brigadier General with MSNBC's Chris Matthews defending her. This week, Lou Dobbs will again do what he does best, make sense of all the madness. Join Lou Dobbs weekday afternoons, 3 to 6 p.m. on AM 1300 WMEL.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Glenn Hagee, America's Master Handyman. Even though the weather here in Florida is not as extreme as in other parts of the country, we are still faced with many of the same household problems, from air conditioning and heating issues to mold and mildew and the musties. I can help you with that weekend honey-do list. Join me on The Handyman Show. Talk to me, Glenn Hagee, America's Master Handyman, on The Handyman Show, Saturday mornings at 11, here on AM 1300 WMEL.
Brett Thompson here. I just want you to know that I'll be on Meet the Press this Sunday talking about the issues that we talk about right here on the show every day. So check out Meet the Press Sunday, and then we'll talk about it on Monday on The Fred Thompson Show.
Hello, I'm a radio.
And I'm a TV.
We both give you the news.
And we both give you our opinions.
And we both let you call in and challenge us.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Call in, challenge, what is this?
All right, you don't take calls.
From people, the public?
Oh, no, no, that's too risky.
Well, for TV it is. Radio never had a problem with people.
Oh, you have no problem. Look at me. I'm a radio. I take calls. I can be in your car.
TV, whoa, sorry, the cable's down again.
Oh, well, I better put on the radio and find out why.
Oh, shut up.
AM 1300 WMEL.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Good morning. This is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio, CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, which is a marketing and public relations firm, and a consultant to companies on topics mostly related to marketing and communication. I want to welcome you all this morning to AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station, and tell you what I'm thinking about and what I've got for you today. And today I've got something special that I certainly haven't done on this station before. I have a special guest I'm going to tell you about in just a moment. Actually, every week we have a special guest, but this one is particularly special to me, so let's see if you can guess who it might be. In the meantime, I was thinking about how so many companies look outside of their companies when a problem happens, when a disaster hits, when something isn't working inside their firms. So they look outside their company to see if they can find a consultant. And, of course, that's good for me and my business, but a lot of times companies and leaders inside companies forget to mine the gold in their own organization. So what do I mean by that? I mean that sometimes we forget to look inside at who's right around us and who's been supporting us and who knows our organization often better than any consulting team out there. So today, I decided to look inside my own little circle in my own organization, and I decided to bring on a special guest today who recently graduated with her master's degree in teaching English from Stony Brook University. And this guest happens to be my daughter, Elizabeth Anselmo. And she's here today to help us talk a little bit about what's going on out in the job market today And what happens when you, you know, graduate, you get out there, and it's like, ta-da, here I am, and then what? So welcome, Elizabeth. Thanks for being
here.
Hello,
Donna.
Hello, hello. So, Liz, why don't you tell our listeners today a little bit about you and what your background was and how you got to the point we're going to discuss today.
Okay. Well, I graduated from my undergrad from SUNY Albany in 2005, at which point I then entered into a career in sales and marketing with a company.
And that was a printing company that was, at the time, a 125-year-old printing company that specialized in the label printing industry.
That's right. And it was a wonderful experience, but I did a little soul searching during that time and decided I wanted to pursue a career that focused a little bit more around writing and helping people. So I decided to go back to school to pursue a degree in English to teach. And I just recently graduated from my master's to teach English and have stumbled upon the job market being what it is.
And you learned in New York that, as in Florida, it's difficult to get a teaching job right now.
That's right. I pretty much did the best you could have done in the program, but coming out, it's just not a great time to be an inexperienced teacher in that applicant pool.
So, Elizabeth, I know that over the, you know, past, you know, past month since you graduated, you have been looking at what you can do in the marketplace that maybe was different from what you intended over the past 2 years while you were going to school. And I know that that's an experience that so many people in our communities have. You're living up, you know, in New York, I'm down here in Florida, and actually, for those listeners who are interested in knowing a personal tidbit, I'm actually dialing in today from South Carolina, where I came to take care of some personal family business this weekend. But no matter where you're living, people are experiencing the same thing. So you have come to the conclusion after getting out of college that maybe it was time to shift your thinking a little bit. So tell us a little bit about what happened, because if somebody is just getting started in the job market or somebody has been laid off and they're needing to kind of get a new handle and freshen up the paint, so to speak, on, you know, their own outlook and their own persona for going forward in the marketplace, tell us a little bit about what they might expect and what you think they can do.
Well, I would have to say that the most difficult part of the whole transition for me was stepping off of the path that I was so focused on for 2 years. And I'm sure that that's something that a lot of people experience in terms of if you spend a significant amount of time focusing your energy and your thoughts on a specific path and it doesn't work out, I think one of the most difficult things is to step off that path. Whether it's working or not, it's a source of comfort, and it's what you've been looking toward for a long time.
And we get a whole set of expectations around what we're planning.
Right. And you've been telling everybody that's your plan, and there's all sorts of reasons why you are very much tied to this plan, and it's difficult to step outside of it. I think that my best advice for people in a transitionary phase right now is to be open to alternate paths. What the biggest step was for me in transitioning right now, and the most difficult one.
So what do you think it takes for somebody to open themselves up to a different path? And then we have some real business-related things we want to talk about also.
I think it just takes a little bit of acceptance and being open and not being against alternative thought patterns and just taking a risk. Especially, you know, when your path is not working, being able to step off of it is difficult, but it's probably the best thing you can do.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what choices did you make and how was it to make those choices? Or, you know, the particular choice. I know you're doing a couple of different things right now as you're, you know, trying to get yourself up and off the ground, and I know there are a lot of other people out there in your circumstance, and that's why we're talking about this today.
Okay. What choices have I had to make?
Right. Tell us about what are you doing in business? What are you doing to earn money in the meantime?
Okay. Well, in the meantime, I am working in a restaurant for immediate income, but I decided to pursue a non-traditional approach to business with the idea that I might be setting myself up for a financially secure future. And I decided to purchase my own franchise in an established company, open my own website for marketing, and
So tell us a little bit about what kind of a business is it? You know, what is the business?
Well, a personal spending and residual income advisor for people. I have a website through which people are able to shop at name brand stores such as Target, Best Buy, Express. And by shopping through my website at these stores, they are able to earn reward points back for their purchases. These reward points can then be put toward my company's brand products, which are, you know, cleaning lines, cosmetics, lawn and automotive care. So what happens is that the same money that people are spending anyway, they're earning rewards back for, and then they're able to put those reward points toward things that they actually already need. So it's a way of getting a little bit more from the spending you're already doing so that you don't have to sacrifice your quality of life right now.
Right. So Liz, what is the name of the company that you're working with?
My company is Market America.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit about, okay, so you're working for, with the Market America franchise, or as they call it, an unfranchised system. But what do you do personally? Because there are a lot of other people out there who have bought similar operations with your company or a different company. What do you think it takes for you now to make that kind of a company a success? How do you brand yourself in the market?
Well, it is very important to brand yourself in a market like this, in a job like this, where it's very much one-to-one marketing, meaning that the difference between shopping anywhere else online and shopping through my website is that you have a customer care specialist at your service. And so for me, it is a matter of branding yourself, because people want to be able to trust the person that they're working with. They want somebody who will advise them and somebody who they believe has their best interests at heart. So being that for people is probably the most important element in making a business like this successful. So
being able to be available as a trusted resource is what you're really saying.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Terrific. What did you learn since you got started in this? What are some, have you learned any business lessons? I know it's been a short time in this particular operation, but you've also been in business actually for several years, working, you know, in the printing company. Tell me a little bit about what lessons you've learned that you're applying to being successful today.
I've certainly seen in the short time I've been working in this business, but it's not a completely foreign concept, that people have a difficult time and are not always ready to step beyond their own comfort zone and routine, and can be very skeptical of non-traditional approaches to business. So it's important when you speak to people in sales, in alternative business routes, that you never really push them in a direction that they're not naturally ready to pursue. If people seem resistant or just not really on board with what you're telling them, you should probably stop and leave it alone. And if people are curious, they will ask. If they're not, it's not something that you want to force.
What would you say to somebody who is maybe having a tough time deciding what they want to do right now?
I would say that it's very much worth it to explore an alternative career. I can say that from the moment I signed on board with Market America, it's been a very exciting and empowering experience in terms of having control over your financial future. And it's something, especially with a job market like this, the way that it is, where it's very tenuous, and even jobs that seemed very secure in the past are no longer that way. And it's really awesome to just be able to rely on your own business and to recognize that what you earn from your business is what you put into it. It's the very basics of what you look for in anything, but to actually have it happening in your job is a very exciting thing.
So what appealed to you the most about the opportunity to, you know, that you picked in terms of going out and looking at a franchise? Tell me how that, you know, how does that let you live your life or not?
Well, you know, it's funny because I likely am working harder and more hours than I would be in a traditional business, and yet I don't feel sometimes like I'm working at all. So it's an interesting transition, because when you realize that everything you're doing is for your own gain and for the gain personally of the people on your team, and what you're doing is actually a lot of fun, it's interesting how it doesn't feel like work. And I know that sounds totally cliched, but really, if you enjoy what you're doing, it's so different.
So when you worked
for someone else,
when you worked inside the printing company, you actually started in sales, because I know your history. You started in sales there. You moved into sales force training and development, and you also played a role in quality control.
Right.
Think back on that experience a little bit, because a lot of the people who listen to our show are business owners, they're small business owners, they're business professionals, they're people who are looking for jobs as well. And one of the key areas of job performance is creating a good team. What piece of information could you share with our listeners about how to manage effectively? You've had a lot of good insight, and I'm looking for that little piece of gold, a little nugget that you can tell us about what has to be done. What are some of the things people have to commit to in order to manage in a way that's quality conscious and that people really get it and that the team continues to evolve?
Well, I would say that my personal belief is that the most effective and productive team is composed of people who are open-minded and coachable. That the first thing you should be looking for when you're developing a team are people who are open to learning and growing, not only as individuals, but, you know, as employees. And to choose people for your team who are very rigid and resistant to change or for difference are probably not great for a team environment. They might be very smart or very personally good at what they do, but if you're looking to grow a team of people with a common vision, you really need to find people who are available to be on board with different ways of thinking. Because oftentimes in business, you do have to shift what your focus is or where your company direction is going if something isn't working. And if you have people who maybe have been on board for a long time and just are very set in the way the business has been going, it's very difficult to move that. And sometimes that's very critical to the success or failure of your
company.
I'm
glad you brought that up, and you raised an interesting word today, which is coachable. So what does that mean? And somebody who's coachable is able to move forward, open up, and be willing to learn something new, but beyond that, they have to be willing to actually take a step and change something, which also means that they have to be able to have some kind of follow-up. So when you're doing coaching for somebody, it really comes down to being able to provide them with feedback that they can actually hear, and feedback that they can integrate in what they're doing, and then to create a measure of time in which a change needs to be made. So it's really important when you're trying to coach somebody and you're giving them feedback to make the feedback very specific so that the person that you're trying to coach understands the goal. It's interesting with communications, particularly around the issue of change management, to have to be able to explain to somebody the why behind the purpose of what you're doing, and also to, when you provide the coaching, to do it in a way that isn't personal and that doesn't slam the individual, but really focuses on the process. Because if you can focus on the process when you're coaching someone, for instance, saying, hey, I observed that, you know, this isn't working, or that there seems to be a glitch in the system, as opposed to saying, hey, you just made a mistake. When you do that, when you get somebody's personal, fire up, they put up a wall, and it makes it harder. But if you take the emotion out of it and you just focus on the process, it makes it easier for people to come to agreement and to see a purpose in the solution, particularly if you can explain why the process is important. And then another piece of giving that kind of feedback is letting people know, okay, well, I need your commitment on this. Can we agree that we're going to move in this direction? And what's the next thing you're going to do? And it's important not only to have a goal to change something, but to be able to chunk it down into steps for somebody, and to help that person even develop the steps. Because one of the things we talked about at the beginning of this program is mining the gold and going to the people in your organization who very often know there's a problem. Sometimes things get in the way, and they don't come to solutions for a number of reasons having to do with personal dynamics, sometimes even in the organization. So just by opening it up, making it non-threatening, and making it really solution-focused, and that person understands that you're looking to them for information, they come back, and they're more prone to give it and to come and work with you on a solution. And then always put a time frame on it so that that person that you're coaching knows when this change needs to happen by, and that you're going to come back and revisit that situation. So, Elizabeth, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think that you hit on a number of important points, and one that I would want to comment on is just the idea of, I think before you even want to talk to a person about something, you want the people to understand that the first things that you'll be examining are the systems. Because it's very important to make sure that the systems in place are really infallible. Because if you are constantly going back to the people and saying, whoa, you're doing this wrong, or you're doing that wrong, and this person does it this way, and you have to look at your systems and make sure that the systems in place for the people to work in are workable.
Okay, I hear the music in the background, which is letting me know that we've only got a few seconds left to the program. So I want to thank you, Liz, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
And we will be back next week with another business topic to discuss at Bold Talk News Radio, WMEL. This is Donna and Selmo. Have a wonderful weekend.
Infineon Raceway.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
It's the Toyota Save Mart 350.
Left, right, left, through the S's. Now the right-hand turn downhill.
Montoya now goes to the inside of Newman in turn seven. A great move, makes the pass on the inside, gets on the rumble strip. He'll now try to chase down that threesome in front of him.
Ryan Newman and Marcus Ambrose side by side off 11.
The Toyota Save Mart 350, Sunday, June 21st at 4 Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
And here NASCAR on AM 1300 WMEL. It's Duke and the Doctor, weekday mornings 9 to 11 a.m. on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.